GHRT Rewinds are brought to you by Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Mike and Nate and Harrison teaming up to help you sell your home faster and for top dollar. This is the George Hildreth Tyler Show, welcoming the stars of Maine Public's main event, seen Sundays at 6 on Maine Public Television. I hope they're okay with us calling them stars. Let's ask. Former State Senator Roger Cates, okay if we call you a star on our little humble radio program, Roger?
Taken 70 years, but finally somebody's done it, so I'll take it. Thank you.
State Senator Aaron Herbig of Belfast. Okay if we refer to you as a celebrity?
I'll think about it. Thanks.
Okay. Thank you both for joining us. George sends his regrets. He fell ill last night. He's getting better, and he should be back with us very soon. Roger and Aaron, if we could ask you, we've asked the WVOMFM.com question of the day. Will doubling the number of new caseworkers stem child abuse and neglect in Maine? This follows a report from the Maine Office of Child and Family Services that suggests, well, I'm going to paraphrase here, Aaron, and I'll start with you. Thanks for giving us an additional 33 caseworkers. It's going to help a lot. And an additional 29 support and staff positions. But we could really see a doubling of new caseworkers instead of 33, maybe 66. We know the hope is that it will help stem child abuse and neglect in Maine. Aaron, do you think it'll get the job done?
I do. I mean, I think that when it comes to any of Maine's children and them being in dangerous and really scary situations, we in state government and as just citizens of the state need to do everything that we can to protect them. The fact that, you know, just a year ago, two children in Maine died because of being in abusive homes, one of them right in Stockton Springs, so right up the road from me, it really shook our community. And anything that we can do to protect our kids, I mean, that's got to be it. It needs to be the priority.
Roger, let me ask you, first blush, 33 additional, take it to 66. Do you think it'll help stem what we don't want to see in our state?
Yeah, I'm not sure the exact right number. I mean, we can all agree, I think, that one of the key roles of government is to protect the most vulnerable among us, and certainly young children who are in bad situations through no fault of their own, got to be right at the top of the list. A couple of years ago on the Government Oversight Committee, we looked into the two tragic child deaths, and one of the conclusions that OPEGA reached was we needed more staffing, that for years even the authorized positions for child protective workers were not entirely filled. So we recommended more child protective workers. I know the governor has put more in her budget. I don't know what the right number is, but I've certainly listened real carefully to what DHHS has to say. It'll have to go through the legislative process. There'll be committee hearings on it at all. So I don't know what the magic number is, but it's got to be a top priority for the next legislature to at least look at it next time.
Aaron, if I could throw a follow-up to you, there are some that perceive adding more staff is throwing money at a problem. And there's the perception that throwing money at a problem doesn't always make it go away. But we can't afford not to see this problem go away, can we, Aaron?
I think that's right. I mean, as a mom, right, I thinking of situations like this is just, it's just so scary, right? And I think that, sure, it is always important that we're reviewing our fiscal responsibility in the state. I mean, it's taxpayer money, so we want to make sure that it's being spent properly. But when you talk about staff that are going to be out looking to make sure that Maine children are safe, it does seem like absolutely the right thing to do.
We're not operating in a vacuum. Other states have similar issues, and I don't know what the numbers are now, but at least a couple of years ago, the caseworker load in Maine was way above the national average and way above where most people agree it ought to be. I'm sure that's been changed somewhat, but we ought to take another look at those numbers and see. I mean, one of the obviously, it's just no news flash here, we've had a need for more caseworkers because, particularly with the opiate crisis, we've had more children in crisis. And so, again, I'm confident that the next legislature will take a good look at this. And you're right. We've got to be careful with our taxpayer dollars, but kids got to come number one.
Let me follow up on that very point. Joe Lawler penned the story for the Portland Press Herald on this topic and noted that in 2017, the load, Roger, was about 77.0. The national average was 72. There's one more point we want to follow up on. And Aaron, I don't know if you can add any insight to this, but when we've talked both sides of the aisle with members of the Appropriations Committee, they've indicated that there are some positions in the spreadsheet for DHHS that aren't filled. But they keep them there in the event that they will be filled. They just don't toss those aside. So finding an additional 33 or finding the additional funding for 33 is at least a possibility, Erin?
We're going to have to see what this looks like in the legislative session. I do know that we are having workforce issues with state workers. It's not just electricians and plumbers and everything else you hear about. In the state with so many people retiring in our older population, filling a lot of these jobs has been very difficult. But we also need to do everything that we can to make sure that we're fulfilling this responsibility to make sure that kids are protected here. So I do think that when it comes to a topic like this, Democrats and Republicans come together on an issue like this. So I'm hoping that we can really make sure that we're delivering the best kind of service here in Maine for our kids.
And Roger, a final thought from you on the topic. I've never seen a state budget spreadsheet. I don't think I want to, but is there a possibility that it may be at least worth a conversation of the additional caseworkers to try to do the best we can for the kids in our state?
Yeah, I think we've got to take a look at it. And Aaron's right. It's not easy to get people to do that job. These guys are doing God's work, but in many ways, it's a very difficult job. There's a lot of turnover, partly because of perhaps the supports aren't there for help. But, you see trauma basically every day, and it's hard to keep these people in place. So, yeah, we've got to, it's a tough one. We want to protect our kids, but we don't have unlimited dollars. And I'm confident that the Appropriations Committee this coming January will take a hard look at it. And I'm also pretty darn sure that, among other things, this will not be a partisan issue.
Talking with former State Senator Roger Cates and current State Senator Erin Herbig, one an R, one a D, both the celebrities. Again, I try to keep a straight face as I say it, and I'm doing very well, of Maine Public's main event, seen Sunday at 6 p.m., Sunday at 6 on Maine Public Television. Roger, let's check that. Erin, let's start with you on this one. You mentioned that on this week's edition, you'll be talking about the citizen-initiated people's veto of the vaccination effort. Can you give us an idea as to how it was kicked around?
There was a law put into place this year that passed the legislature that right now in Maine, there are exemptions, right, for both philosophical and religious reasons. And the law proposed to change that. There still will be medical exemptions present, but in order to go to a public school, a private school, a university in Maine, you will have to have all of the vaccines at the time that they are directed by the CDC. So there were a lot of families that were really have really strong feelings against this. So they went out and collected 93,000 signatures, which is a pretty incredible effort. They're being verified right now, but it sounds like it will most likely be on the ballot in March for all Mainers to decide.
From your perspective, Roger, what do you see ahead for this?
Well, it's really fascinating. But forgetting about the merits of the issue, it's a fascinating political question, Rick, because it was something of a partisan issue in the legislature, not entirely, but more Republicans voted to eliminate the exemptions to keep the exemptions than Democrats did. So they did gather these signatures to try to put the exemptions for philosophic and religious reasons back in place. But it looks like it's going to be on the March ballot. And in March, of course, the only thing really that's going on is the presidential primaries. There won't be much of a primary on the Republican side, but on the Democratic side, a bunch of candidates out there. People are expecting a big turnout of Democrats in the March primary. Democrats have, in the legislature anyway, have voted to remove these exemptions. So I think the effort by these people and the people's veto to put them back in faces an uphill battle, just because many more Democrats are likely to turn out than Republicans in March.
Erin, do you see that similar, maybe it's a gray line in the split between the political parties and how it might shake out in March?
I think that in the legislature, it was definitely more of a partisan issue, not entirely. Just in comments or conversations that I had with constituents, it didn't seem like it was so much of a partisan issue. I think that this issue is kind of fascinating, or I guess public health generally speaking is, because you're talking about, with vaccinations, you're talking about herd immunity, a certain percentage, you know, up in the 90% of our citizens or our kids need to be vaccinated to sort of protect everybody. But then you're also talking about an ability of a parent to make that decision for their child. So this kind of comes down to that government mandate versus almost the sort of libertarian, you know, parents get to make those decisions for children. So it'll be interesting to see how it breaks down. What I will say too is that the guest, Kara Sachs, who came on representing the Families for Choice, she said that she would describe a lot of the people that went out to gather the signatures as disgruntled Democrats. So it will be interesting to see what this conversation morphs into as it really gets out into the public at large.
We had the privilege of talking with Kara on our program as well, and I was personally approached by someone who offered the petition and then took the time to sit down. I think it must have been at least a 10-minute conversation, sharing data, expressing concerns, and just sharing the concept that there needs to be more discussion before we make such a decision. That was a heavy lift for these people, and for them to gather 93,000 signatures, Roger, you may not agree with the issue, but you've got to tip your hat to their effort.
Absolutely. And she was so impressive, and I'm sure that her colleagues are as well, taking the summer to go out there and get these signatures. You know, it isn't an easy issue because, particularly for those who are more conservative, we don't want government becoming more involved in our lives than is absolutely necessary. And here is a situation where, from their perspective, the government is telling parents how to parent. And for many people, that's a hard thing to accept. Tough issue because there are public health concerns on the other side. But these people are certainly doing it this for all the right reasons. There's no bad guys on either side of this issue.
Mm. Aaron, we want to know what else we might get a taste of on this Sunday edition or upcoming editions of the main event on Maine Public Television. Have you any hints for us?
Sure. Well, as I said, we'll be covering the vaccine and the people's veto. Our other guest, in addition to Kara Sachs, is my colleague in the Senate, Senator Linda Sanborn of Gorm. She's a former pediatrician, so she has a perspective on the other side. It was a great conversation, so I hope that you all tune in on Sunday at 6. And then the following week, we're going to be talking about climate change and Governor Mills' new climate council that just recently had their first meeting. I think it's a good conversation now to be having with all the press that Governor Mills got addressing the UN about Maine's role in our climate challenges.
Global warming and climate change, Roger, that's sure to be an interesting addition. What do you expect?
Well, yeah, and I think coming up after that, Rick, sooner rather than later, we're going to take a look at the impeachment process in Washington, D.C., try to get some perspective from partisans on both sides of that issue here in the state of Maine, because that's going to certainly dominate the news, and at least the national news, and we want to get a state perspective on that.
I'm encouraged that your show is not up against the Patriots game on Sunday. I don't know how you managed that, because that would be very bad if you were up against
divided loyalties. I know that's tough.
Well, I got to tell you this, Rick. When the Patriots are, at least one of the hosts of the show isn't even watching. So we hope we don't have too many conflicts this
That'd
year.
That'd be two, yeah.
Did I just hear correctly that you two do not watch the Patriots when they play? Is that what I heard?
No, we do watch
them.
You
the opposite
do
play.
Watch the Patriots. I wanted to make sure, because that celebrity status that you'd worked so hard to gain was going to go right down the toilet.
We get into it. My 4-year-old has his Tom Brady jersey. We get right into it here.
GHRT Rewinds, brought to you by your hometown real estate team, Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Thinking about selling your home? Call 629-9211 and start packing. GHRT Rewinds, brought to you by your hometown real estate team, Laughlin and Wolfington Realty. Thinking about selling your home? Call 629-9211 and start packing.